bienvenida al Congreso Virtual para Mujeres Resiliente 2021. Te invitamos a prepararte para un mensaje especial directo del corazón de Dios para tu vida.
Hello, this is our third teaching on resilience, and we're ready to go. I've enjoyed being with you, and this is our last one. And we've touched on some things, and I believe God's doing miracles. And this will be our third teaching on resilience. And I wanted to touch on, we talked about salvation, we talked about healing of the heart, we've talked a little about discipleship, about reading the word. Let me underscore that. There's no way we can stand on the word or let the Lord minister to us through the word unless we know the word. And I know it's hard. There's so many ways now available on the phones. They have the audio, but there's nothing more precious than holding God's word and reading it. And I just pray you'll find a translation. I know you're in a wonderful church that does discipleship. Y'all are blessed. So you have to know the word. So I encourage you. I could give you a whole teaching on the value of the word, not a whole nother. And you've probably had that because you're in such a wonderful church. But what I felt led to close this third lesson on resilience and how do we stay resilient to the Lord? How do we stay in the boat when the water's coming in? As I opened up with, the disciples were in the boat, the water was coming in, and they woke Jesus up. And I'll tell you, sometimes I tell Jesus, I just say, Jesus, I'm going to wake you up. And I remember you telling the disciples, oh, ye of little faith. I said, Jesus, I need you. I need you to pull a little close. I feel the water. I feel the water coming in this situation. I don't like the way this situation feels. So I just feel your presence. I want to feel your presence because your love keeps me going and lets me know it's going to be okay. Now, also, one of the things I said, salvation, healing of the heart, discipleship, fellowship, I've mentioned that. And also, the older I get, learning the strategies of the enemy, which I believe, this is me, I believe one of the strategies of the enemy is distractions and sensations. I don't know how this is going to translate in Spanish. I want to tell you a story. My first two children had to go to Guatemala with us to do the medical missions every year, whether they wanted to or not. And so their whole life they had to go. That was our vacation. My son came to me when he was in law school, and he told me, excuse me for moving around, my son told me, he said, Mama, you owe me a vacation. I said, what do you mean, son, I owe you a vacation? He said, you made me work in Guatemala. You made me work all of Daddy's vacations. We had to work. And I told him, I said, yeah, you're right. And the Holy Spirit came over me. And I said, well, son, tell me where you want to go, and I'll see if we can work this out. And so he came back in a few days, and he said, Mama, I'd like to go to Las Vegas for the weekend. Excuse me, everybody, I have a little dog. He's going to take a nap. But so he said, Mama, I'd like to go to Las Vegas for the weekend. And I said, let me talk to your dad, and if it's all right with him, I'll see what he thinks. We've never had wanted to go to Las Vegas. But I felt my spirit that I was supposed, this, there was something about this that was God. So I talked to my husband. He said, yeah, tell him we'll take him to Las Vegas for the weekend. Not the whole week, but we'll go for the weekend. So we tell him they, we're going to go. And so we go, we fly out to Las Vegas. And time we get in the hotel, they wanted to walk down the strip. And, you know, the big strip. We start walking down the strip. And my son said, Mama, what do you think? Now, I'm an ordained preacher. And I guess he was, I think he expected that a sermon was going to come out of my mouth. And I said, son, you know what? These people really know how to fascinate you and give you big sensations. They really know how to tap into our need for sensationalism and fascination. I said, look at all these big signs. Look at all these lights. All these big signs and lights and all the music. And I said, boy, they really know how to tap into fascination and sensation. I want to tell you, the Lord never, that was a moment of me and the Lord, because that was the Lord speaking through me. My son didn't say a thing, neither did anybody else. And since then, the Lord has shown me one of the greatest tools of the devil is fascination and sensation. If you doubt that, and if you just look at the movies that come out that for the kids, it's so much fascination and sensation to just keep your senses on edge and, you know, bright superheroes, bright, 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 everything. So what I'm saying to tie all this in is one of the strategies to help us be resilient is to be aware of the devil's plan. See, he can't walk up to you and I and say, God's not real, because we're not going to listen to that, because we know him. We don't know him just in our head. We know him in our heart. We know him in our whole being. We know God's real. But if he sends a television show that's full of fascination and sensation, that's going to be harder to resist. I'm not saying all of it's bad. I'm not. I'm just saying that the devil can use ways to get us off of the Lord's business. Ways that might look right, too. You know what I mean? Ways that may... It's really hard for a type A person to slow down, for me. I mean, working all the time is norm. Resting is not norm. One of God's things he's been teaching me during this COVID thing, because, you know, it affected America and shut our schools down. And my daughter's at school today, my 15-year-old, for the first day, and they're back in masks. There's still a lot of COVID here. But I want to tell you, God has enriched me during this time that I've stayed in. I've spent time with him. It's something that I thought was going to be for bad, but it's been for good. So in our teaching on resilience, staying the course, I want you to be aware of the fascination and the sensation. Now, I mean, of course, I believe all the other things are of the devil too. I mean, all your old pain or your disappointments or your present day disappointments. I believe that's from the devil too. So he just has many strategies. If he can't keep us from believing, you've heard preachers say, he'll keep us from growing, you know, growing. But but you have to, once you get saved, and once you realize the importance of discipleship and the importance of knowing God's word, then you've got to be able to manage your life, you know, to keep yourself, not to allow yourself to get so preoccupied in things that you can't listen to what God wants you to do. So the, you know, and with this discipleship, the different areas, let me break my thought here, but I feel like the Holy Spirit just brought this to me. There's a ministry in Kansas City. Some of y'all probably heard about it. It's called International House of Prayer. I've been out there 5 times. They started in February 1999 praying to the Lord, and they've not stopped. Now, you may say, how did that happen? Okay, the leader of it is Mike Bickle, and he said he went from 0 prayer time to 5 hours. Because when the Lord called him to leave this church, it was 3,000 or 4,000 members, and God called him to start a prayer house. And he said that he realized he could pray longer with somebody. That's where I learned about getting a prayer partner. You can pray longer with somebody else. Okay, so he got 5 different people that would pray with him an hour. He started out in a double-wide mobile home that was... the rugs were so terrible, you had to be sure you didn't fall going in there. Now, they started praying in February 1999, and the Lord laid on his heart for 2 hours, have the same group to pray, I mean to play. They have musicians, they have groups that play, and they sing, praise, and worship. And then they have prayer time. They'll have praise and worship for 2 hours, and then they'll have prayer emphasis on Israel, or prayer emphasis on the revival, or prayer emphasis on another country. They pray for all the countries. They pray for salvation. They pray for everything. Okay. Every 2 hours, the music group changes, because the Lord told Mike Bickle he wanted fresh music before the Lord. He's to have fresh music, kind of set up like the tabernacle, you know, with the lights burning all the time and the bread in there. But anyway, so that is a form of discipleship. Sometime I will go out there and just lay in the floor and wait on the Lord. And they have a prophecy room, they have a healing room, you can go get prayed over, but you sign up for that. This ministry has not closed its doors since February 1999. International House of Prayer, Kansas City, if you want to read about it, if you want to look into it, because that's a form of discipleship. That's a form of helping you keep your mind on the Lord. People go out there and dedicate a year for prayer. When the first time I went, my husband and I went, we got in there. We flew into Kansas City at 11 o'clock. We got to the prayer house at 12:30. I turned to my husband. I said, Mike, you and I are the oldest people here. Isn't that odd? We're all young people praying, praising the Lord, playing these instruments. And then when prayer time, somebody would stand up and have a designated prayer. I was just amazed. And I talked to the young people. They were college age. At 12 o'clock, like 2 o'clock, a whole new group of young people came on. I said, please tell me what y'all are doing. Coming on at 2 o'clock in the morning. On Saturday morning, coming in to pray. She said, oh, we've given a year of our life for prayer. She said, we raise money to live off of, to buy our food and clothes, so we can be here when they need us to pray. And we're all on rotating shifts, so there'll always be people praying in the prayer house. I'd love to be a part of that. Before I closed the ministry in Dillon, I was going that way, but it But then my husband died and things changed. But anyway, there are many ways the Lord is moving. And we're at a special time that resilience is more important than ever. Because in our country, we have, I don't even know how to explain it. I've prayed more for my country in the last 4.5 years than I ever have. I prayed for Guatemala more than I ever have. I hate to admit that to you. The 25 years in ministry I spent was working for the Lord. Good things, don't get me wrong. I believe I obeyed the Lord. I obeyed the Lord. God's teaching me something about prayer. He's teaching me something about prayer and walking with Him and staying in step with Him. And let as I walk with Him and stay in step with Him, a lot of this chaos that's going on around me, it doesn't bother me nearly as much. My ability to handle things is growing. My need for control is lessening the more I walk with the Lord, because He's working things out as I walk with Him. And I've been serving the Lord for 50 years. So I love God, but you're never too old to be taught. And this resilience and being able to handle tough times, you need to know who you can pray with. You need to know who you can trust. You're blessed to have a good church. I'm so thankful for you. And I pray for each of you, as I hope that after you hear this, that you'll pray for me, that I will. And you have to remember, too, the ones of us who have some age on us. God called Moses when he was 80 to do his most important 40-year thing. You can't say you're too old. And say, well, I don't feel like it. Well, I don't know about that. Rest, and then God will speak to you in the rest. And yes, I know there's disabilities. Please, I'm not trying to be uncaring. I know there's disabilities that people are limited, you know, but you can even pray with when you're limited. But I have a heart. People who can't read and can't read God's word, that burdens me, y'all. I want to tell you that. I want to see people be able to read and be able to read His word or get an audio portion of His word. And I'm in contact with Pastor Casey in Zambia. He has that same, just more people not able to read probably than Guatemala. But anyway, my heart is for both of your countries. And I love you, and I know that there's great need. And I know your government has need. I don't know all of the things that's going on, but I want you to know that God cares. And some things we're going to have to walk through, but we're going to walk through it with our hand in Jesus' hand. And He's going to guide us. We're not going to walk through it by ourselves, because there is chaos. And I don't have a prophecy about this or that or the other, but I do believe there's going to be chaos. And this learning to walk with God is my mandate right now. I mean, I'll teach on inner healing. I'll teach on whatever. David's life, you're talking about. If we need an example of resilience, you need to study David's life. David was told he was going to be king, and then he has to run from King Saul for 18 months to 2 years. He's hiding in caves for his life. Talk about resilience. I went through the Psalms and marked every song that David wrote, because I'm going to tell you, this is at the closing of this third tape. I had a difficulty 10 years ago yesterday that my husband, who was a Christian, who spoke in tongues, who never made a dollar he didn't tithe. He over-tithed. He helped people every day of his life. My husband killed himself August 17, 2011. Now you can say, well, Kay, how did you get through that? One day at a time. One day at a time. Do you know what the Lord told me? As I found my husband, and he had shot himself through the heart. You know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, I raised Lazarus from the dead. I accepted John the Baptist's fate. That's what he told me. And you know what I told God? I said, I love you. I don't understand this, but I love you. My husband did have mental issues, depression. He had a very painful childhood. He had allowed the Lord to heal many things. He spoke in tongues. He fasted. He made I don't know how many trips to Guatemala to help in the medical field. He was an ER doctor. I made it one day at a time with my hand in the hand of the Lord. And I know that when I get to heaven, I'll fully understand it. Just as Jesus said, he accepted John the Baptist's fate. I accept my Christian husband killed himself. I'm not telling you I understand it, but I accept it. And I accept that God does things we don't understand. He does them in his way, and we have to trust him. That's when we really have to trust him. When things happen that we don't understand is when we really have to trust him. He's still God. I want to pray for others like me who have had very challenging things happen to them, and they're still in love with God, and they're still praising his name, and they still know he never makes mistakes. He's a full and complete and awesome God. And I love him, and I'm going to worship him and serve him all the days of my life. Father, I pray for anyone sitting in this audience who has had a similar loss or tragedy that I have had, that they've just had to accept that they can't understand. But their love for you is full and complete, and I want you just to baptize them with more of your love and your acceptance, and give them a knowing that you're more than capable of handling everything, even the things we don't understand. Father, I pray that this Congress is a blessing to El Shaddai, that it's a blessing to these women, it's a blessing to the leadership, and that all the future, the destiny of El Shaddai will come forth, and it will fulfill everything God has for it to do. Bless El Shaddai, Lord. Bless them. We love you today, Father. Until we meet again, my sweet Guatemalan friends, God bless you.
Eres una mujer resiliente. Te invitamos a escuchar otros mensajes en congreso.iglesialshaddai.org.